Good morning, good evening, and good afternoon. Welcome back to Nerdin' Out. My name is Evan, and then I'm joined by my friends.
Nathaniel. We've gotten rid of David after that last crazy episode. That was really interesting to listen to, I'm sure. I hope.
He's
no longer with us.
I don't know how it sounded yet. Yeah, I mean, it was very upsetting.
Yeah. So we.
I'm sure it'll be very cringy to listen to.
I don't know. I think there's gonna. I don't know. David, I just know we had to push him off. We had to shove him out.
David.
I'm here.
Yeah.
Can't get rid of me that easy.
Damn it.
I'm bone mold, folks. You can't get me out or in.
Do you mean marrow?
No, bone mold.
What is bone mold?
I'm not gonna finish the joke. Never
mind. No, please don't
finish it.
It's a stupid joke.
Do it.
So
what's bone mold?
Said. Okay, thank you. What's bone mold?
Yeah. What's bone mold?
You should ask your grandma because I bone mold all the time. It's stupid. I'm sorry.
No. It's oh no! Joke. That was good.
Oh my gosh.
Grandma has dementia.
Oh, I understand that. That's frustrating.
Most grandmas do.
The power of music is really the only thing that I've noticed shakes that out.
Yeah.
And if they're white, surrounded by
music.
Yeah, surrounded by Haitian nurses.
Yeah, and if they're white, the sound of music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I recently heard that, and I kind of hate it.
What?
I'm okay.
The sound of music.
You hate the sound of music?
Like the musical, right?
Yes, movie? I know.
But also, to be fair, it was kids performing it.
What do you mean?
The melodies themselves.
There was adults singing in it.
No. Like, I'm talking about, like, it was put on where I heard it. It was put on by kids at the school.
I thought you were talking about the movie.
Yeah.
Not the movie. Like, the music from the movie.
Oh, the musical. There was a children's performance.
Yeah, at the school. They were doing their version of it.
I was going
to
say.
That's my only exposure to it. And like they were good singing. So I have to go and see it. I'm scared. Like, I have to go watch the movie just to like
Sabrina has yet watched it with me. Yeah.
She hasn't yet.
She said she watched it as a kid, but she also watched, like, her parents had very odd movies. So she's kind of like been jarred.
What you're saying is invite me over and the three of us are gonna watch it.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yes. I'd love that. Four of us have your better half, and I'd love to.
Well, she
hates musicals so much.
So does my wife.
I love musicals.
I love musicals too. One of my favorite musicals is
I don't have a wife, but.
Well, I know you don't have. Yet. So,
is that a threat? Is that a challenge?
No. Oh, God.
Promise.
It's a challenge, yeah.
All right, David and I are already married. Got it.
Yeah. We're going through some things. We've been doing a love course, and we're trying to learn.
You and I.
This whole podcast is just a star-crossed love story between the two of you. And I'm just the witness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like when you watch a really bad TV show. Man. And you see the obvious male protagonist and then the obvious female love interest that, like, doesn't like it. You're just like, okay, how many seasons? Three?
Yeah.
Like, Bones, oh my God.
Bones did the worst. Yeah, I know. How long are they going to push it?
Bones was the fucking worst with that. Bones was like, we're going to tease this at the beginning. And then five seasons go by. And then finally they're just like, yeah, fine, here. And it's like, yeah, fuck you.
Well, it's the most annoying when, like, maybe season finale, they start to tease that they might get together. And then season two, they fully get together, and then they don't.
Yeah.
And then as seasons go by, they keep teasing it, keep drawing out forever. And then 11 seasons later, it's like, I guess I stopped watching the show. So now I don't even care that you guys are together.
It's also frustrating because, like,
they just introduced them randomly.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway.
It's so annoying because, like, at one point or another, and they have a great cast. Also, I have to say that. But at one point, like, the two that you actually wanted to see together, which was Angela and Dr. Hodges, like, great couple, fun.
Yeah.
What?
I actually have never watched Bones. I was talking about How I Met Your Mother, but
were you actually? Because it completely applied. That's actually
I've never watched Bones.
Wow.
I thought it was like.
I mean, it's hard to like wash bones too because they're in your body. Sorry.
I'm proud of you, Evan. I'm proud of you.
Thanks. I want to kill myself. Anyway, so
you know, I heard bone mold's a good way to do
something. What's bone mold, David?
Bone mold time. Okay.
Well, as speaking of watching shows and
yes.
and bad tropes in shows, what are some of your least favorite anime tropes?
Oh goodness. Well,
I could think of a couple off the top of my head, but I want to hear you guys first.
One of my least favorite, and this is only just recent, but I am starting to grow old of the character that doesn't look powerful but is way too powerful. I'm kind of tired of that.
The mundane looking hero.
Well, and that, and like, here's the thing. There's shows that do it well, like One Punch Man, and you know, there are good shows
but
that do
satirical,
that.
They've
done well.
Though.
That's
exactly. Satirical. And that's
exactly.
The point.
It's the context.
When the other ones where it's like it's a serious show, but they just look mundane, just to look mundane.
Or they look stupid and there's no way
to get it wrong. Well, and it's right. And they're so like, and it's like not quite edgelord, but they're just so like pompous and just so like unlikable.
Look at me.
Yeah. Well, a good example I use for that. Everyone knows my hatred for Fairy Tail, but it's just like not only do you have like I know. Shocker, huh? Well, it's like you'll have these characters that they'll introduce to the show, and it's like, okay, there's the obvious, like, you know,
main
wacky
character.
You know, support character. Mm-hmm. Oh, obviously broken edgelord fucking, you know, magician that has way too much power but is somehow going to end up being taken down by the, you know, Mary Sue of a main character and his cast of retards. So it's kind of frustrating. Every time, because it's like it really takes away from the way that the show itself could go if you just had a natural course of things. And not to say that it's like the movies or shows that have done that are like bad in its entirety, but it definitely is like
execution
takes me
matters.
Out of it. Yeah. But that's one of mine.
And Fairy Tail for sure.
Oh, Fairy Tail.
Both meanings. I think I've only read it, and I read about, I want to say a good 50 chapters, and I think it was around chapter 2. I don't know why I kept going. People kept saying it's so good, and it just it's nothing but endless tropes stitched together with unappealing characters.
Oh yeah, the obvious, you know, always losing her clothes, female side character,
the main character who's like overly positive and like brings everybody together with friendship, but you don't understand why, because he's actually really annoying and nobody would listen to this guy.
Yeah, and can eat a mountain of food in a very quick time and everyone's shocked by it, and you know,
I know the MC of a lot of
so many of them.
And the MC of most like shonen animes can just eat a lot of food. The only one that I didn't really see that was My Hero.
Yeah.
That's true. He didn't. He was a little bit different.
Deku,
he was more.
As I say, Deku. And I don't think there was really any character in there that was like, had the trope of like, oh, just gonna eat all this food and all that stuff. Like, they had a couple characters that liked to eat and they liked food, but there wasn't any moment where it was like, People were like, oh my gosh, he's eating so much food. I feel like that's in a lot of shonen
where
it's not the MC, there is one character that just eats all the food.
Almost every shonen has that, and they're very prominent.
Which is
all they are.
I mean, which is also like that comes from Japanese culture.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fair. That's where a lot of these tropes come from. That's what a lot of these tropes come from. They come from just Japanese culture. And there's a lot of things that are more commonplace, I should say, quote unquote, or more like, you know, not expected, but more well known of. Mm-hmm. I can't
they
really
become caricaturized after.
Yeah,
that.
They can become characterized and all that stuff. So for me, oh gosh, I'm definitely not a fan of the like having a crush on your sister or your brother trope.
No.
I have never been a fan of that. And anytime I see a character that like has goo goo eyes for like their sibling, especially being a brother to three sisters, it disgusts me. I immediately hate that character, and anything that they say, I don't listen to because I think they're fucking disgusting.
And I would pair that along with the main character being like attracted to like minors.
Yeah,
they're 500 years old, so it's okay. It's like
Or like 500 year old women looking like toddlers.
A child. Yeah, it's like that doesn't make it better. You are a PDF file. I'm sorry.
Oh, absolutely.
PDF file. File them away.
Mm-hmm. Oh, 100%.
I heard that one the other day. I was like, oh, that's. PDF file. That's a good
PDF
one.
File. That's great. Yeah.
I was like, oh.
That's great.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Yeah, that was just not. Ooh, definitely. That was not good.
Yeah
tying back to what David said about like the female side characters always being undressed. It's like the amount of fan service in some of these, lot of anime.
And like, it's just egregious.
He fell with his face in between the boobs, or like, oh no, he accidentally groped very conveniently, and like,
yeah,
there's so much spillage. It's like, I feel like certain anime, like it can have its place in it if you know it's a niche thing, or if like that's
or if
one
it's
of
a comedy, you know what I mean?
But it's like in almost every mainstream anime has some of that.
What's the name of the one where they're firefighters but they fight demons? Fire Force.
Yeah.
There's stuff in that one. My Hero has very little.
In the early seasons there was a little
fan service stuff, but it never really did any of the like egregious stuff. I was kind of disappointed because Dragon Ball Super kind of like dipped into it a little bit. And that kind of bumped me out, but
that's because
they didn't focus on it too much though.
Yeah. I feel like usually it extends beyond comical to where it's like kind of like intrusive.
Yeah.
There's certain anime like Kill la Kill where that's part of the show's identity. Where
it's part of the show and it's kind of satire in a way.
Even
some of the characters draw attention to it and they're like, "Is this really necessary?" It's like, "It's just the way I'm designed. I'm sorry."
Point, I feel like that's a specific niche, and it's like, okay, they're leaning into it and satirizing it. But it is too much. But at least they know it's too
much.
Have
you guys seen Goblin Slayer?
I have.
Yeah,
that's the most per season. Yeah,
yeah, that's another one that kind of like there's some stuff in there, but it's not necessarily fan servicey. It's just more to like tell a story
because it does enhance the whole like danger and like
paints a picture of the enemy. Yeah, paints a picture for how terrible goblins are in that world. So it's like it's necessary to the story. It's hard to watch for sure.
It's disturbing.
The first episode's nuts, dude. I was not ready. I was watching it and I was just like, okay, cool. It's just fun characters. Yay. And then they get into the cave and I'm like, it's getting bad. Oh, it's getting worse. Oh, it's getting so much worse.
I need to hold someone's hand now.
Yeah, I need to cuddle with someone right now.
But it's when it's in the
normal anime and they use it enough, it's like, oh, this is annoying. And it's, oh no, it's in like all of these that I'm watching. Oh no. And now if I watch anime, people are going to be like, oh, you're into that weird stuff. I'm like,
it's like, oh, you're watching hentai. It's like, no. I know. It sucks because it's like you can't watch it like out in the open, because on the off chance someone walks in, it's always gonna be like on the weird part, you know?
Yeah. And then
it's never on like the normal part.
And then it has anime now has some of that stigma still on it. Oh, anime was a mistake, my dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hence the quote.
Yes.
What are some other...
What other tropes?
Yeah. Oh, you do it. I got to think some more. When you guys...
That was one of the most egregious.
It can be, yeah. They can
serendipitous, be. One that isn't really well known. It's not like obvious, like some of the fan service or like, you know, the routine things. The serendipitous series of events that leads the main characters just to where they need to be. Sometimes yeah. that just puts me like, okay, I don't feel like this was earned. This is given. This is plot armor. And like a good example of that's like Naruto. It's like, okay, just every half part of like the actual non-filler arcs, it's like, okay, he just happens to train enough and happens to learn the right jutsu to help him just specifically in this, or, you know, people just happen to align in the right way and the right possible orientation to give him the help he needs, or, you know, even also, in the later shippings.
It's like, oh, he just has to talk to them with his friendship.
Talk no jutsu. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, talk no jutsu, exactly. It's like, oh, now they're an ally forever. And of course they would, like, respond in the perfect and way and now follow him. It's like, okay.
And it's dissociating because it gives me like less of a like, and I know, and people are going to be like, what about One Piece? Here's the thing is One Piece.
Yeah, David, what about One Piece?
Yeah, so what about One Piece? One Piece.
I was going to say, he makes everyone his friend after fighting him. Like
he does, but there's actually plot and reason behind it. It's actually there's story reasons why that is the way it is. Mm-hmm. And I'll go into it if we have an actual podcast about it, but that'll be like as long as the actual series.
You can go into it a little bit.
So there's a thing called Haki, which is like will force, and in the thing, it's acting as like a second level of like people. Each individual person has a ability to reach within their willpower and extend past what would be physical barriers or mental barriers and things like that. So for him, there's different types of haki where like your combat's increased, you're more stable, or, you know, you have more. So anyway, so there's one that is unique to certain characters called Conqueror's Haki, and what it is, it's a mental fortitudinous kind of ability where if people who are obviously weaker than you are in your presence, they'll just immediately faint. And it's kind of like eliminate the grubs kind of thing. And it's helped, you know, I think it's helped the series as a whole because it's not as much like filler fighting where it's like, here we go, we're going to fight a bunch of scrubs and then fight, you know, a not so bad scrub and then fight the big boss. So it's kind of like cut past that and made it so it's like, okay, they're only fighting the actual combat, like, combat capable people, so it's kind of cut the bullshit out.
So is it like almost like it sounds very D&D?
Yeah, it's kind of like, yeah, you're right. It's kind of like you have a little bit of like an edge against the smaller opponents, so you don't have to deal with them as much. And so anyway, so for him, it's the reason why so many people think he's, you know, he has this capability of becoming, you know, a friend of whatever enemy he defeats, which isn't always the case, but it's a case of some of the enemies that are reoccurring. Half of the reason why is because people think that it's related to that. Instead of being like he eliminates people who are weaker than him, he attracts people that he has eliminated, kind of thing, where he creates like a sense of like camaraderie or something of that manner. It's not completely proven, but it's been shown in the series as like a potential thing that has happened. And there's actually been like commentation from the characters themselves being like, how has he become a friend of everybody that he like is along the way?
Right.
So they've made note of it. So it's an obvious like character development.
Or at least, I mean, if they acknowledge it, I guess they kind of, it's less egregious, I guess.
Yeah, and it's multiple times.
Naruto is that like, the things that he is saying do like most of the time are not convincing to me that would change the other character's mind or behavior.
Yeah. But the one that really got me in Naruto was it was the peak of Shippuden when he's fighting, which my biggest problem with certain arcs in that is just like you said, it's like they build to a place where it's like, okay, he clearly couldn't beat this guy by fighting, so now he's just going to talk their ear off. And when they were going through the Pain arc, which in my opinion was like the potential peak of the series, it was so disappointing because like Naruto trained and he got this new jutsu and he like, you know, he's trying to avenge
his age mode.
He's trying to avenge his, you know, Jiraiya, his fallen mentor and father figure. And the fact that he couldn't do it with the things that he had equipped, and then even with the Ninetales assisting him through a greater portion of the latter half of it, it's like he clearly was still on a, you know, a lesser degree of capability to beat Pain. And at the very end, the fact that it ends with a conversation of being like, oh, well, you just have to believe it, which isn't actually what he said. But, yeah.
And it's like, so you trained all that for nothing. You could have just talked.
Well, and like, my thing is too, you know, there's scenes in Naruto, like for instance, when they avenged Asuma's death, where Shino goes and kills the guy who killed Asuna. So there's obvious like points and reference to where like, oh, shit, this isn't just like playful Naruto. They actually are like, they're taking bodies now. They're taking like, well, the numbers whole, like, and receipts.
Obito and Kakashi storyline.
Yeah. Yeah, and brilliant. So it's like there's obvious.
Points.
Oh yeah,
Naruto has some great stuff in it.
They do, but it's just hidden a bunch of trash. It's really frustrating sometimes. It's kind of like you're dumpster diving, and you're like, "Oh great, $100." I just cut my hand with a fucking HPV needle. That's gonna be a problem. Oh look, my $100. So it's just
That's interesting. It kind of, I don't know if you would consider this a trope because it's a little beyond that, but like the length of some of these series, they just don't end. Boy.
Yeah, I know One Piece. There's, and I think it's difficult.
I was gonna say Naruto, Bleach. A lot of these, like, are gonna
end. The big five.
Basically, the managers of these mangakas, these writers, are like, oh, you have to keep going because it's making too much money.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and the thing is too,
a lot of like, and maybe that could go into like entertainment and storytelling in general, like monetization, but I feel like with manga it's different because it's the same series that just keeps going.
Yeah,
it's like, it's, well, not like a sequel, or it's not like an extra story. It's like the it just keeps going,
and that's I think a big reason why people don't want to get into many anime that are long running is they feel like it's such a barrier. Like, I can't possibly, you know, it's gonna take me a long time. Some people run toward it head on. I mean, I feel like that's half the reason why Netflix is popular, because they throw so many long-running seasons on there. It's not nearly the circumstance of like, oh, Netflix is making money because they're making good shit. No, their stuff's terrible, but they have Frasier and Friends and, you know, all these like well-known long-running shows where it's like, well, of course, somebody's going to start a 13-season show. They're not going to finish it fast. They have to pay for Netflix to watch all this shit in succession, especially without commercials. So, and even then, it's like,
my favorite shows are on Netflix and our originals, dude. Midnight Mass. Have you seen Midnight Mass?
Midnight Mass is good. One Piece, their adaptation to it's good. They have some good stuff. Not all of it, but, you know, the greater majority.
They have a lot of amazing stuff, but they're, yes.
Yeah. Again, it kind of goes into the you know, trash can of cash and bullshittery. You kind of have to get
Evan, do you have any cut and stabbed. I think we're like starting to drift.
Yeah, we're going towards the hard to love anime topic.
What other tropes?
Nah, I'm just sitting here listening to you guys talk. It's fine. That wasn't a nice thing. I was just waiting for my turn to talk.
I'm gonna take it that way.
Wow.
Let's see. What I don't love about anime is when they like stop to explain like their moveset constantly.
Oh my gosh.
Like, it's like, my power is this, and like this means I could do this, and blah blah blah. I'm just like,
just do it.
Show me. Uh-huh. Show me that. Like, and I understand, like, in the manga, like, they probably do explain it, like, on the side. Like, you have to write it out to kind of like to explain it sometimes, but like, like, don't put it in the anime. Like, just show us what it is. You know what I mean? And a good example of this was in Jujutsu. They kind of Jujutsu Kaisen. They kind of address that trope, and they're like, you know, it's like, oh yeah, explain your, you know, it doesn't make sense to explain your moveset unless either you know you can win, or to kind of like get in their head and like get them second guessing. And I'm like, I understand the first one. The second one, it just tells me like, you're explaining how your domain expansion works, and that, or your curse technique works. And then you're basically telling them how to like you're like giving them a chance to like figure out how to counter it. Just do it. And then if they can't figure it out, that sucks. You know,
it also like, almost, it makes the audience seem like it makes you feel like they think you're dumb.
And that does go into the show. Don't tell me kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And that's one of my biggest things about movies is I want to be shown, not told. And anime is all about telling and not showing, which I'll always go back to Darling in the Franxx, because it did a really good job with showing and not telling you, at least till the very end. Like at the end, you got some more backstory into the Franxx and how they worked and like their conception and everything. The end of that series definitely goes off the rails. I will definitely be the first to say it.
Yeah, I remember you talking about that back then.
What it feels like is that they should have ended it on episode 15, and then they should have just reloaded for season 2 and then maybe come up with a better ending, because it really kind of goes into a really weird place. And I like some of the things like from like the second half of that show, but there are other things like the way it ended, it felt very out of left field, and I just didn't thought it was a little pipe dreamy, but yeah. But
I think that's like one thing.
But that's going away from my original point of the show not tell kind of thing.
I like kind of wonder, because like shonen, it means like boy, because like shonen are for boys.
Yeah,
they're for younger kids, even if you know culturally it's different than ours. But like, I wonder. Well,
shonen is action, or like. That's what shonen means. That's translated to like action, isn't it?
That's a good question. Never questioned it.
No, I looked
it. It might have several meanings.
I looked up shonen, like what is the definition of shonen, and it said action, like action adventure.
Mm. It's interesting that they have like specifics, like it's a shonen anime, and even though the greater like majority of it would be considered that, it definitely has like a
I was gonna say Japanese comics aimed shonen manga.
Japanese word for boy, but a lot of Japanese words have
teen male meanings. Targeted demographic. Okay, that makes more sense. A shonen mm-hmm. anime being like a young male targeted anime, that makes sense. That makes more sense.
But also like a lot of times Japanese words have like a lot of meaning.
Yeah.
Like there's several meanings for one word. Like they're layered.
It's interesting, especially comparative to like language. And I think that's also part the reason why some of these animes do like explain things, is because these are being adapted from a manga. And in the manga, they do have to, because obviously they don't have the visuals to back it up. So they have to explain it. And a lot of hardcore anime fans get frustrated when they're like, you're not adapting from the manga. You're just going along with whatever you want to do. And it's like, when they explain things, they kind of are taking the worst parts of why a manga is a manga and putting it into anime. And rather than like have, you know, I've appreciated some of the later episodes of One Piece, because they've stopped doing more named attacks and just do attacks. And they'll just leave like a subtitle on what that attack was. So if they want to, you could just look at the screen. And obviously they make it more cinematic, but I think a lot of animes, when they do named attacks, it's another, I guess that's a trope, you know, having a name for everything you're about to do, you know.
Yeah, naming your attacks, that's another one.
Now, that's one thing I think Naruto did very cleverly, because at the very beginning, they're like, no, this is part of casting a jutsu. You have to, you know,
you have to proclaim what the jutsu is. Yeah, that makes sense.
And it's interesting.
Well, some of them, not all of them, but
yeah.
I was going to say the fireball that Sasuke spits out, he doesn't have to say anything because it's coming out of his mouth. So that makes sense. Yeah,
right. Or what's interesting I've noticed too is in the later seasons, they didn't even say it. You'd see him about to do it and you would just hear a voiceover saying, oh, it's this jutsu. And you're like, oh. And that, I think I like that more than talking about what it is. And even like,
oh, something talking about that, like that just reminded me. Another trope that I don't love is two people fighting and everyone else just watching.
Oh my.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jujutsu Kaisen does a really good job with it's like, no, if there's more than one person, more than one good guy there, guy's getting jumped. Like, I don't like, and like they've done a really good job with not like doing the, oh, we're all just going to stand and watch. No, everyone's here. Everyone's fighting.
Yeah.
And like, it's this one dude's getting jumped. And
I think it's definitely set a pace for them too, because it's given them a lot of an edge over like most other shonen anime where it's.
And that's the thing too, is if one guy's getting jumped by all these people and he's winning, that just sets the bar for how strong that character is.
Oh yeah.
Like, I didn't feel that Cell was stronger than anyone else because no one else was like jumping into fight. Like I understand, well, they
were, like take turns, right?
Well, yeah. it was like a tournament or whatever where he fought everyone, where he was going to fight everyone one-on-one, but like he only fought Goku and Gohan and that was it. But like some people were saying, well, Krillin and Tien and Yamcha wouldn't have done anything. No, but like as a collective, they all would have just stomped his ass, which I know it goes into the whole like, oh, Saiyan pride. They don't want to, you know, share a fight. Like throw that out the window. If you're trying to save the f-ing world.
Yeah.
Jump his ass.
Yeah.
Period. And nobody we don't have to worry about this.
Mm.
And
there's definitely
the
1v1
bullshit. That's the 1v1 and everyone else watch trope. That's not a very fun thing.
It's interesting because like I think originally that idea of 1v1 is almost like a samurai idea where they're both facing off against each other. But
right. In a setting where that makes sense, like in a tournament arc or things like that, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. But if it's fate of the world, like, nah, exactly. Like run these hands.
They took that concept and they used it way too much where it doesn't make sense. Exactly. Like in Dragon Ball Z.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
But I think it's interesting when you stretch it all the way, like, back, it seems like a very like samurai type of face off thing.
It is. I think too, it's definitely a dive. It's definitely a dive into like, because Japanese culture, it's kind of a die by the blade thing, right? Because that's how their entire structure for power worked. It's like, oh, he took this many heads, he killed this many people, but it's not noting it whether it was by himself or not. It's because his blade was responsible for the death of however many people. So I think they carry that into a lot of culture as far as combat goes. And so one of the ones I feel like the trope is like weapons are huge and ridiculous and big, and it's like in reality the character themselves is strong and the weapons just inconsequential. Like Fate Stay Night is a like perfect example. The weapons are just unwieldy, impossible, and like ridiculous. And even beyond that, like the characters themselves are half the reason why. And even still, like it's a trope because it feels like they just need to have something to hold on to, some sort of like tool to do whatever it is that they do. And like even anime like Soul Eater, it's like some of them, like they'd be perfectly capable without. And I know that's kind of part of the story is like, you know, the weapon is a soul and you have to bind and blah, blah, blah. But it's like, okay, but we've seen like in that anime specifically, we've seen people that don't have a weapon be just as capable, if not stronger than people who are. And it's kind of, again, reiterating like this kind of tropey, like, oh, everybody has to have a unique weapon that is specific to them. And Naruto does it too.
It like kind of like undercuts the whole need for those weapons.
Yeah.
They,
well,
like, act like you need
them. Yeah, and not to talk more about Naruto, because I feel like we're just harping on tropeness, and even though the Big Five have been around a long time, that's kind of where I know a lot of people find a common derivative for, you know, tropes, but Naruto, like, they had the Seven Swordsmen of the Mist, and in the first 6-7 seasons, you only saw two of them, and of those two, you had one guy wielding, like, an 8-9-foot long sword, and then the other guy holding, like, a sword that's not even a sword. It's like an animal creature shark thing that they never really explain. And so it's like every character has to have some sort of like, you know, weird tool that's unique to them, that is specific to them. And it's like, can't we just have people that all use the same things and is strong? And it's just a battle of power rather than like, oh, because I'm using this unique f-ing nunchuck that, you know, sucks your d- when you die or something. It's like, what the f- does that have to do with this combat? And it's like, oh, well, I win because of this. It's like.
Come on. I never want to see that in anime. That's oh no. Doesn't well, do no, it after you die.
David.
I know it was just a random example.
He was just talking.
Oh no. That was such a weird visual. Oh my.
What do you mean?
The suck chuck.
The suck chuck. I like that.
That's perfect. Oh man.
But yeah,
there, dude, it's like there's a lot. Yeah, there's so many tropey animes, and I think the longer time goes on, it's easier to rely on those.
Yeah,
because at some point, like a lot of stuff in anime start, you know, and it's with like literature in general. The longer it goes on, the harder it is to kind of reinvent and make things unique. But it's like when these tropes are so egregious and like overused, and it's like they only rely on them. They don't do anything precious. Right. That's where it starts to become like frustrating to watch.
Well, yeah, it kind of it takes you out of the immersiveness of the story, and especially when you're watching. And more, I guess a lot of these are more specific to the shonen genre, but I think a lot of anime in general follow tropes, no matter how you try, and it's just like the cliche of saying, you know, if you watch a movie, you'll find a cliche, but it's true. Because in the end, it's like we will always follow patterns. And even in anime, they have cultural patterns that are emanated through their animes. Mm-hmm. And whether it helps or hinders it, it's a part of their culture. And there's nothing much we can expect other than that.
I mean, if you want to talk about other, like outside of shonen, I mean, the like the tsundere, like, no, I don't you. Like that's in all forms of genre. That's not even all genres of anime. That's, you know, in the slice of life and the comedy, like
Toradora and Lucky Star and some Toradora, of those were like passerbys.
You have the Toradora's a good one. Yeah.
You have the
worst one is School Days. God, what a trash heap of an anime that was. Jesus Christ.
School Days? Which one?
Yeah, don't watch it.
Which one was that one again?
Oh my god, it's a f-ing terrible. Much like the name suggests, it's high schoolers. Or I think they're high schoolers, but it's kind of a love triangle thing where like.
Oh, okay. All
right. Yeah, I was thinking of. Don't watch it.
I was thinking of there was a different like slice of life anime that was around high schoolers, but it was more it was like different stories, like looking at different couples. It wasn't like one whole, like, and they didn't necessarily know each other. They were just like all went to the same school, and it was kind of
know that one.
Yeah, I can't remember the name of it. Someone will know it and probably comment somewhere. But speaking of that, let us know what your least favorite anime tropes are, and let us know what tropes you're sick of seeing in anime, and which one, you know, and kind of, you know, let us know if there's any ideas for like things that you would like to like replace those tropes. Maybe that's something interesting that, because we all like to complain about things but have no answers or solutions for it. So,
or what is like tropes that people say are bad but you actually like?
Oh,
that'd be interesting too.
Yeah, that'd be another trope hot take. What are some trope
like hot takes? Maybe you love all the groping and everything. I don't know.
And maybe you're a pervert, you know, like. You know, and you know, no shame, but just keep that to yourself. Whatever's done in the dark of your own house stays there.
You don't have to pander to all of the audience. We can leave some of the away. It's fine.
Yeah.
To assume they're even listening to this in the first place, they're just like, God damn it, they're not talking about my favorite thing. I'm leaving. Like,
you're not talking about the big Bazonga Hungaroos.
Yeah, it's like, God damn it, I need to go watch my favorite anime for the ninth time on Live Leak. Okay, see ya.
Imagine if that was just our audience.
I would not be surprised if that was part of it.
I am. Well, for one, I apologize for my statement. And second, please don't leave.
No.
Don't apologize. Are you kidding me?
I'd rather have no viewers.
I'd rather have no viewers than having a fan base full of otakus. Are you kidding me?
Oh.
I would feel very like I feel like a failure as a content creator
when we realize we are
all of my fan base was otakus. I'd be like, oh man, so I'm just not funny, huh?
Yeah.
Oh no. Thanks for joining in.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
Catch you on the next one. Bye bye.
If you want to keep up with Nerdin' Out, you can follow us on Twitter, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Podbean, and YouTube. As always, you can email us at nerdandoutpodcast@gmail.com. You can use the subject line Flavor Blasted to email us any ideas for a podcast, questions, comments, or you can just harass us. Since you're still here, here's a few extra minutes from the earlier episode.
Hey, you know. Oh. I'll restart.
Yes.
So yeah, I was younger and my mom and I were at, I believe it was a Walmart, I think the Walmart and Center. That Target's where I am, so redact that. So we were there and this lady approached, I was just being me and like making fun of toys or something. And I was there and lady approached and she's just like, she's talking to my mom. She's just like, oh, your young boy is so funny. Like, have you ever thought of, you know, putting him on to doing talent stuff? And my mom's like, what do you mean? And she's like, oh, yeah, I'm a talent agent for Disney. If you're interested, I think he'd be a very fun addition to what we're looking for. So my mom, like, initially didn't think of anything from it. But when she got the card from the lady and then went home and looked him up, they're an actual legit third-party contractor for Disney and for Nickelodeon. So she called, and for a short time, I was intending to do that, and I abandoned that at a certain point for reasons I won't disclose, but I was very much intending to go into that head first, so at a point, I was, like, going to classes to do behavioral stuff and do, like, you know, acting and stuff, so there's some stuff to be learned. If you ever want to throw somebody off, the immediate thing you do is you change your tone. You change your cadence, and then you immediately try to either berate or especially if you know the person, it's easier, but you try to berate the way that their conduct of thinking is. If they're not a quick thinker, it works better if they're not a quick thinker, but if they are a quick thinker, you need to just throw more trash on the heap to get them distracted by previous things and then allow them to be caught up in the crap, and then you can just immediately become the candor of upset, or just, you know, like I was in the previous thing. So
really,
it's
like
a little lesson.
Andor.
Wow.
Andor is a good show.
Yeah, no, that
Andor
yeah,
is a very good show.
It worked.
You nailed it, man.
Thank you. I'm glad this paid off after
15 years?
11 to 28.
I'm telling God.
Yeah, 13.
God on you.
Wait. 11 to 28, 17 years.
I was going to say math.
Yeah.
I'm telling God. That's all.
Why is it?
I tell him multiple times.
Why is
time math is the worst math? Because, like, especially when, like, women have kids or they're, like, pregnant, it's like, oh, I'm 29 weeks pregnant. I'm like, you just tell me the months.
Oh, no.
Shut up.
Oh, no. That's what
whatever you do.
That's what my sister did. I was like, he's like one now. And she goes, he's 15 months. I'm like, fuck you, Isabel. Like, he's one. Okay. Like, no one gives a shit how many months he is. He's one. Okay. He's made one trip around the sun. He's one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, that even rhymes. Perfect for even a kid to understand.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
He made a trip around the sun. He's one.
Yeah,
exactly. My grandma,
that's perfect.
My grandma was so sweet. She handled it exactly the way I handle it now. Where when people like when they start talking about their kids, I'm like, oh, is he walking age? I'll use the ages. Is he walking age? Is he talking age? Is he crawling yet? Right. That just tells me what I need to know. If they come up with this, like you said, it's just like, oh, my
is
child,
he entitled
29 weeks?
Is he entitled full age? Or
yeah. Is he robbing you for all your worth? Has he started a pyramid scheme? Is he Harvey Weinstein?
Is he retarded cuck? Or
is he? Yeah.
Oh, no! God. Then he's definitely 50. And a boomer.
Oh, God. He's definitely 50. That's controversial. Not every 50-year-old.
50 and a boomer.
Never mind. I'm not going to
No, only the boomer, only the boomer 50-year-olds when they were 50, because they're no longer 50.
Okay, I'm going to start the episode now.
We already started.
What is our topic, by the way?
I don't.
Oh no, we
anime tropes, right?
We haven't started yet.
Yeah, but we're gonna do anime tropes, right?
Yeah, I gotta do an intro still.
Oh, we are? Okay.
All right.
Hold on. Yeah.
Good morning.
Sorry.
And David, if you pull some of that crap in this episode, I'm going to
child. Like as I'm throat. Yeah. No, I'm talking, I'm actually eliminating. I've already eliminated like 7 or 8 from the list. I'm just going through getting rid of the
not the right ones now. I know will not be this jarring.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.